from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Jeff Green!
There you go.
Jeff Green!
Oh, wow.
Sorry!
As this game is going on, he's feeling it, and you can see he's rising to the occasion.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
Oh! Awesome, baby, with a capital A!
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
This is your captain, baby. Hey, come with me!
The doctor is now in.
Hey, very good Friday afternoon to you. T.C. Martin Show coming your way right here from the Cosmopolitan, the CG Technology Sportsbook. No better place to be on a Friday or any day, for that matter, than the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Whether it's the sports side, entertainment, the gaming, the restaurants, you know how I feel about the food. Well, all of it. The food, the entertainment, everything. No better place right here than the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. All right, today on the program, we are going to be visiting with the head coach himself, Jim Fossil, just freshly back from Atlanta. And he couldn't join us for our Super Bowl preview show last week, of course, because he was in Atlanta and his son was coaching, the special teams coach for the Los Angeles Rams, John Fossil. So always great to have Jim Fossil with us. A little bit later on, Rob Van Dam will be in the house as we talk a little wrestling. And Rob has got a new movie coming up, a documentary on his life called Headstrong. So we'll talk to him about that. Jason Simbel from CG Technology will join us. I think Brian Benowitz is rolling around here somewhere. And, of course, the lovely Colleen, the handicapping queen, she is here tonight. Of course, she wanted to remind me about her stellar finish in our Best Bets contest. So hopefully she does college basketball, too. So as we approach Hoops and Hops, Colleen will get in on that. So always a festive Friday here at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. So Magnum's back in the studio, Jazzy Jeff here, and the head coach, the former head coach of the New York Football Giants, and of course, Mr. NFL himself, Jim Fossil. What is happening, my friend?
Oh, you know, all the football and everything else, and, you know, there's a get over it now.
Yeah.
Because everybody, you know, for the weekends and the parties and all that stuff, there's no more NFL football. I got to wait till next year.
No kidding. Exactly. You have this routine, basically, from the beginning of August, that you're all dialed in every Sunday. You know, I know that's the preseason and everything. But, you know, once September hits, it's this routine. It's like, wait a minute. But there is some more football on the docket, and we will talk about that. It's not NFL football, but we've got some football that is actually going to continue and happen this weekend. So we'll get some thoughts from Jim Fossil about that. All right, first I want to talk with you about the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl experience. Obviously, you were there in Atlanta, and I know that you were mainly there for your son, John, the special teams coordinator for the Rams. You know, Super Bowls, I want to get your take on this because obviously being a head coach who appeared in the Super Bowl, who played in the Super Bowl, coached your team in the Super Bowl back in the day against the Ravens when you were with the Giants, but now you've had a chance to kind of go to Super Bowls as a fan or guest speaker and all that kind of stuff. I know you did the radio row all last week, but honestly, you were pretty much there for your son, right? That's why you went last week.
Yeah.
So, and I know I've got my own personal feelings, and I want to get your feelings now as a fan that's gone there. It's kind of a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I wasn't going to go. I was not going to go. And my son, John, he called me, and he said, Dad, you're coming, aren't you? Well, I was going to plan on staying at home and watching it and getting the replays and all that. And he said, Dad, I was there for you. When you went to the Super Bowl, I want you to be there for me. And I said, John, I'll be there. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been to many Super Bowls, and the crowd and everything else, and in the stands and everything else. And oh, my gosh. I mean, it was rough duty.
How different is that, being on the field, coaching a Super Bowl, and now you're sitting in the stands? Totally different for you.
Totally different. And the only thing is, for me, with that game and stuff, you got football fans, right?
Right.
As I'm walking with my two other sons, I mean, how many times I got stopped? Hey, coach, would you sign that? Hey, coach. Yeah, I got recognized real easy. Yeah. But
You were doing red carpets and everything.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence Taylor was going to have his two daughters on the red carpet, and he couldn't make it. And they asked me if I'd take them down. And I get over there, and then they canceled. And so I walked down the red carpet by myself.
Oh, too funny. All right, Jim Fossil joining us, talking about the Super Bowl experience. All right, so what would you say the best things and the worst things about attending a Super Bowl?
I think the best thing is prior to the game and all the stuff they got going. And I got stopped by a lot of people. And just want to shake your hand, Coach, just tell their story. The worst thing is...
And you don't mind that because you're great with the public.
No. That was fine. The worst thing is trying to move around. And like when they called me for Lawrence Taylor to walk the red carpet, I was at dinner with my son and family and all that, and it took probably an hour and 20 minutes just to get across town.
Wow.
It's just packed in there. It's packed. And, my one son came in and he rented a car. I said, check the car. Yeah, we can't do that. You got to get one of the car services to take us because you're not going to find a parking spot down there. Okay, and like you said, I was down there doing a lot of radio shows and things like that. You can't move around at all. You cannot.
It's definitely taken on a world of its own. And again, I always like to call it's the biggest pseudo event in the world. It's what it is because anybody who's anybody wants to be there. You've got, throngs of media that you don't have, and we've talked about that before, that come to this thing. And most of these, I'd say probably about 70% of the media that attends this thing doesn't cover football on a regular basis. The crowds, everything, and even the people in the stands. I mean, you get a lot of people. It's so corporate, and it's, to me, it's too chaotic.
Well,
everything.
It is.
It's just too chaotic. If I get a chance to pass, I'm going to pass.
I would rather watch it on TV, to be honest with you. And but, the good part of it is that I saw a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Marino and Joe Theismann, and Joe and I talked for a long time. Joe Namath. Just a whole bunch of guys you haven't seen for a while. You get face-to-face conversation. And
the parties are good leading up to it. I'm sure the Rams, had a party and all that kind of stuff. And again, NFL alumni that you get a chance to, see people, rub elbows. So what was the big highlight for you, Jim? Whether it was seeing your son actually coach in a Super Bowl or just maybe some time leading up to it, what was the highlight for your week?
Well, I would say basically two things. John was free two nights to go to dinner. And they had their kids there and everybody else. And BZ, his wife, his father was in there. To see those people, to break away for just a little bit. And then Radio Row. I mean, gosh sakes, all those guys. Mike Holmgren, who and I were quarterbacks together at SC. And I got to see so many guys that you don't see on a regular basis. And you stop and talk and all that stuff. And I was on a big station in New York, and as I got off and I'm leaving, Dan Marino, he's right behind me. And I got the funniest story on him, and we laughed like crazy. I don't know if I ever told you that one. I was offensive coordinator at Denver, and the Miami Dolphins came to play us, first game. And John Elway standing right next to me. They got the ball. Dan Marino, they break the huddle. He comes up there. And back then, players got sick, and they'd throw up and stuff. They don't do it anymore. I don't know what the deal was. But anyway, Dan Marino walks up underneath the center, and our nose guard kind of got on one knee, and they stood up, and he just, all over Dan Marino, and he's just shaking it off him. And they had to stop the game to clean the get grass
right,
and everything.
Right.
And Dan remembers it. And wow. John Elway and I were just laughing like crazy.
Jim Fossil joined us, the former head coach of the New York Giants. Let's talk about the game itself. Last Sunday, lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. Rams held to 3 points. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Why, in your opinion, was the Rams offense so ineffective?
Well, I think that, I don't know how many of those guys have been in the Super Bowl, okay? And it's a different game now. I mean, with all the coming up to the game. And, you know, they just looked like they were as loose as they normally were. And if any one thing, and it is not, you know, belittling them or whatever, but there are receivers all year long. I saw them. And that ball, when he put it up, quarterback threw him, they would jump and they would grab it hard and then they got it. In the game, I thought four or five times. I mean, they out-jumped him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, are they just a little nervous? Or
right.
A little, what's going on there? But
New England seemed to be the hungrier team. They were the more physical team, in my opinion. And especially what you're talking about, on that side of the ball, New England's defense and the Rams' offense, it just seemed like, you know, they were quicker to the ball. They were breaking up the passes, and then they were delivering some big hits to Goff and even the receivers.
Well, yeah, and you know it's a different game now, mm-hmm. and all the getting into the game and all that stuff and all the publicity and all the families coming and a big deal. Yeah, it can, and the thing is, I can't put it on the coaches. I can't put it in any one area. It just seemed like the Patriots were a confident team. They've been there.
Experience means everything, right?
Yeah. And the pass game for the Rams, their receivers just didn't go up and grab the ball like it's mine. They were kind of waiting for it to come to them, and then they would either intercept it or they'd knock it down or whatever. And that's not blaming anybody. It's just that is the biggest show on earth.
Right.
And, you know, you got to go in there and confident. And the Patriot guys, they've been there.
Jared Goff took a lot of criticism. You and I have talked about him before. Do you think that criticism is deserved, saying, hey, he had one of the worst Super Bowls of all time? You know, or is it just that, hey, there is so much to be said for having a veteran quarterback lead your team in a Super Bowl?
Well, that's right. But I'll tell you, if you want me to coach him, and you know, coach again, I'll take that guy right now. I think he's outstanding.
A lot of upside, right?
Yeah, big time, big time. But again, you know, it comes down to the Rams had an opportunity to make some plays. Okay, they did. They really did. At the goal line, right there. And they didn't get it done. And when I watched the Rams during the regular season, they got those. They went up and grabbed that ball and all that, and they just didn't do it in this game. And I don't know why. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. But that's why everybody watches it, because nobody knows what's going to really come out of it.
Do you think that Sean McVay got out-coached by Bill Belichick?
No. 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 Coaches don't play the game. Okay? All you can do is call the plays.
What about adjustments and that sort of thing? Because obviously that was made that was a talked about point, and then they say Belichick obviously is great for second half adjustments or whatever. But I mean, did you see McVay make any of those adjustments, or just give me your synopsis on the coaching aspect with both teams?
Well, you know, I'm all really cautious because, you know, I've had games. Mm-hmm. I make some adjustments,
I understand. Yeah.
And they didn't work either. Mm-hmm. You know, they just had a better tempo than we did, or something like that. And people say, well, would you make different changes? Yeah, if I had a crystal ball, you know, but I don't have that, you know, and it's players play the game. And it's one of those things that, you know, when you win, it's about players and coaches. When you lose, there's a bunch of people that say, well, the coaches didn't do a good job. Well, wait a minute. Now, come on. We're all in this together. And I think they did everything they could, but I'm saying that, you know, that game was so close. All it needed was one of those grab in the end zone.
True. Yeah.
And it's a tie ball game. And here we go. And Belichick's a smart guy. And when you got a quarterback that's so relaxed as Tom Brady, and you got those other guys out there, they're veterans, big-time veterans, and they've worked together so long. The Rams guys haven't worked together that long. And that makes a big difference. And they, you know, everybody goes back to play calling. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I mean, the bottom line is I look like a genius when the players make plays. And if they don't, then, it, you know, I don't. But any coaching staff, any player is going to say it's all of us. I didn't get my job done. You did the best you could, but it didn't happen. Yada, yada, yada.
While you were watching the game, did you have the feeling that a lot of fans did, they said, low-scoring game, it's boring, it's 3-0 at halftime or whatever. Or did you take the angle that, you know, hey, this is still a pretty exciting game because things could turn on in any play, especially as we got into the fourth quarter. So I guess the question is, despite it being such a low-scoring game, did you think it was a good or entertaining game?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for in a game.
Right.
You know, some people love defense.
Right. So fans, especially casual fans, they don't see offense, they're going to turn it off. Okay. You as a coach, how did you feel when you were watching the game? What were your thoughts?
There wasn't a lot of scoring. And if the Rams got the ball and they hit one of those 80-yard touchdowns, then it's going to get everybody getting excited. Well, they couldn't do it. But all season long they did it. Right. And so you can't put it on play calling. You can't put it on any one thing other than they had their opportunity, and they didn't. And you're going up against a veteran team, okay? Those guys, they were all of the receivers, and no problem. Let's go.
Jim Fossil joins us, former Super Bowl head coach himself. His son John, the special teams coordinator with the Rams. We're recapping Super Bowl 53 from last week. Let's talk a little bit about the Patriots, the word dynasty. Any sign of this changing with the New England Patriots in the near future?
If Brady retires, yes. You know,
well, he says he's got no plans of that for at least another 3 or 4 years.
Oh, no, he won't. Yeah. He won't. He's taking care of his body and stuff, and as long as Belichick stays there, he'll stay there.
What do you see when you look at this franchise and this particular team?
Well, it's a feel-good story in the NFL, okay? Belichick's going to go down as the greatest football coach in history, okay?
You think better than Lombardi, better than Hallis, better than Walsh?
Well, I mean, you how do you grade it? You know, all that. But everybody forgets that Belichick got fired from Cleveland, okay? Because he offered me a job to go with him to Cleveland.
Right, right.
You know, and Bill and I are very good friends. We practiced against each other in the preseason, and we played a preseason game. But, you know, that's the game. I mean, he got fired, and he didn't have a good record, okay? But he's a hell of a coach.
The best get fired, right?
Yeah, but you know what? We were practicing against him in the preseason, okay? And I always watched his guys. So he's going to cut some guys, and I want to see if he's good. We're practicing, right. You know? And
Was he videotaping you?
No. Not that I know.
I threw that out there for Magnum. I thought he'd enjoy that part right there.
Not that I know. Maybe he was. But Bill and I are very good friends, and we were practicing. And, you know, I think it was the first or second game they lost their starting quarterback. And so here comes Tom Brady. And they won the Super Bowl. You know how they did it? With great defense and great special teams. And then I know what Bill was telling me. You don't have to win it for us. Just don't screw it up.
Right.
And that's what they did. That's what they did. And then from then on, Brady had confidence and the team had confidence. And, you know, the whole thing kind of came together for them. Mm-hmm. And once you win it, you're over the, you know, you're worried about it, okay? And at the end of the day, they won it. And they won it again. And they kept... Well, that's hard to beat a team. If they walk in there and here we go, we're ready to play you. And we've been there, done it, and we got it done. And because when you go into that game, I mean, that's the biggest thing going in America, okay? And you read about it and all this stuff, and those guys that have already been there, done that, we're ready.
Yeah.
And the other teams are going, okay, all right, we're going to go play. And so it really plays into winning and losing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's part of the big handicapping factor that we were talking about last week as well. You know, betting on a team that has all that experience that will not be flustered by the big stage. And obviously the Patriots weren't, and the Rams to a certain degree, they were affected by that. All right, Coach, if we can get you to hang around a little bit, I want to talk to you about a new league that actually starts tomorrow as well, too.
Get some
thoughts about that. Jason Simba will join us. We'll talk from a gaming perspective. Rob Van Dam is going to join us pretty soon as well, too. So hang tight. We are live from the Cosmopolitan. It's the T.C. Martin Show on Fox. Live from the Cosmopolitan, the CG Technology Sportsbook here. Oh, yeah, kind of wrapping up Super Bowl 53 with the former head coach of the New York Giants, Jim Fossil, with us, who was in the ATL last week watching his son, John, the special teams coordinator for the Rams. And Jason Symbol is in the house. Jason, what is going on today?
I'm here. NFL is done, but I guess football isn't done, right?
This is true. So before we get into what's, you know, part two of the football season, let's wrap up the betting side. Second largest handle that we hear, $146 million that the state did. Mm-hmm. It was very good for sportsbooks. And just into comparison, this really being the first Super Bowl that legalized betting took place in some of the other states, like New Jersey, for example, they did $35 million. So still can't compare, of course, to Nevada. But give us your take on the Super Bowl betting. I know a lot of people say, well, the handle was down because it was $158 million or whatever it was last year. But still, I think like you pointed out on Monday on the show, hey, 146 is still the second largest of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, huge number, second largest the state's ever done. And I think really the difference was, I mean, I bet you that the statewide, we did more bets than in previous years. But I think the difference was those big million-dollar players, they really were in for the Eagles last year, but not as much in this game. So that really affected the handle. But in terms of just how crowded and how busy it was, I think this year was really, really busy.
$10.7 million win for the books. That's 7.4%. That's nice. Much different than last year, right?
Yeah, last year I know we lost overall, and I think the state held like less than a percent or whatever. Right. So this was a much different one. Everybody did pretty well because of how low scoring the game was.
Good two-way action?
Yeah, there was good two-way action. The majority of the people were on New England, laying -2.5. The biggest bet that we took was multiple six figures on the Rams. So there was pretty good two-way action. But the one thing that stood out was everybody loved the over. Now, there were a lot of what we would call like sharp customers who bet it under. But the majority of the public was betting either a parlay with the Rams and over or the Patriots and over. So, you know, 20 minutes into that game, you knew that that game was going to be very low scoring. And that really helped the books.
Last week, you mentioned that 80% of the total wagers were prop bets. Talk a little bit about the prop bets, not only just the volume and the handle that you had, but some of the big winners for people on prop bets.
Yeah, so generally we did well to the props because people like betting fun things. So they bet Tom Brady over, Jared Goff over, and all these players were under their numbers because there was such low scoring. I think only like three players went over, Cooks, Edelman, and Gronk. So other than that, everybody went under. But some of the ones where we got hurt were there was a prop that we had, which is how many points will be scored in the game, 15-19, which is very rare, obviously, and that was at 80-1. So a lot of people bet that and won it.
So any big time cashing tickets here?
The most fun one, we had a $250 bet at 25-1 on Julian Edelman to win MVP, which is pretty fun.
Wow. Now see, back in the day, you couldn't take bets like that, could you? That were actually voted on? Didn't the result actually have to take place on the field?
Yeah, this is, I think, the third year that we were allowed to do MVP. So, you know, slowly but surely, we've been opening up the betting options for people to some things like MVP and Cy Young Awards, stuff like that.
All right, Jason Symbol from CG Technology joins us. All right, so NFL season's over, but tomorrow we've got the Alliance of American Football. So I know, Jim, that you are actually a proponent of spring football, but are you a proponent of this league that's going to take place starting tomorrow?
I'm concerned a little bit because you have to have a good TV contract. And I don't know what they have there, okay?
Well, they got CBS involved in this one.
Yeah, but how many games are they doing? I heard there was one game a week.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's not going to bring in the money.
Okay.
Because, you know, you make the money for people paying for the advertisement and all that stuff. I think, you know, it's good development league for the NFL. I'm concerned with a lot of different things. And to just highlight two of them, you know, people just got done with high school football, college football, and pro football, and you're going to say you get some more money to look at this league when you don't even know what it is. The second thing is I've read a lot about their rules that are different. They do not change the rules. I know the rules for the NFL. I know what this foul is, that foul, and they got a lot of changes. And if I'm not mistaken, I didn't read it in the paper, but I heard it was that the NFL itself wants to cut the game by at least 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay? And what I understand, but I could be wrong, that they're not going to have a halftime. Well, if you're not having a halftime, now wait a minute, time out. Coaches have to go in and readjust some things. Players have to get retaped or see the doctor. And all those things got to happen. And the fans, you know, they want to get up, stretch their legs, get another beer and all that stuff, go to the bathroom. And if you take that all away, but when I was reading all the rule changes, and people don't want a lot of rule changes. They know the rules for the NFL, and they want to see that on the field.
They like their familiarity. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the league. Actually starts tomorrow. There are actually 8 teams in the league. You mentioned this. There are plenty of different rules. And it's going to be interesting to see if people do watch this, if they care about it. Because, again, you have franchises that have had some, you know, cities that have had some football franchises, you know, there before. Like you've got Birmingham, you've got Orlando, you know, some of the offshoot leagues, and that's going to happen here again. So attendance is going to be a big question mark. But here are some of the rule changes. First of all, there are no kickoffs, okay?
Yep.
No kickoffs.
No kickoff.
Each team is going to start at the 25-yard line. There's no PATs whatsoever, only 2-point conversions. So with no kickoffs means no onside kicks as well. But they are going to have a caveat here. So if a team is behind by 17 points, instead of trying to do a successful onside kick, they get the ball at their own 28 and have to convert a 4th-and-12. And if they convert the 4th-and-12, then you get to keep on going. And so for Las Vegas fans here too, you know where the Super Bowl is going to be? Or not their Super Bowl, their championship game is going to be at Sam Boyd Stadium.
I need a pen and paper to write down those rules already.
Exactly. Oh, and it keeps going. I mean, there's a lot of rule changes.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about the half. I think there is a halftime, but I know their goal is that they want to complete the games in 2.5 hours, and they had a rehearsal, okay, of exhibition a few weeks ago back in San Antonio where they tested out everything with the officials, to the announcers, everything, and the average game was 2.5 hours, what they said. They're going to take the play clock down from 40 to 35 seconds. So you're right, though. I mean, it's just going to be very different, you know, for people. And we saw this years and years ago with the XFL when they wanted to try to do all these kind of weird changes. And so, and the XFL, they're coming too again here. But first and foremost, tomorrow we've got the Alliance of American Football. So with all that being said, Jason, do you guys have it on the board, and are people betting on this?
Yeah, we have it on the board. There's 4 games this weekend, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday. We have those available for betting and futures on who you think is going to win the championship. So come on down and bet it. You know, try to learn the new rules, and maybe you can find an edge.
Well, you know, the thing is, everybody wants to shave down the game. The NFL does want to, okay? And they're talking about no halftime. Are you kidding me? No halftime, and the rule changes. I was going to do this, and I talked to Larry Upson, who's an official for a long time. You want to cut 15 to 20 minutes? I can do it easy. If you throw a pass and it's completed, the clock keeps running. But if you throw a pass and it's incomplete, the clock stops until you snap the ball. What's the difference? I mean, it doesn't matter. Does it matter? If you throw a pass and it's complete, good. If it's incomplete, as soon as the referees get the ball, wind the clock.
Yeah, it's not like you have to go retrieve the ball because it's out of bounds, because you got, you know, 20 footballs right there. And
oh, yeah, they'll have it right back there, and you're going to get the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what I was going to do is inside of 2 minutes at halftime and 2 minutes of the game, now if it's incomplete, now you stop the clock, okay? You do all the way. Do it the whole game. I mean, what's the heck the deal? Yeah.
I mean, so you guys may enjoy this one. So in overtime, they get the ball at the 10-yard line, and it's first and goal. And you must go for 2.
I don't hate that.
Yeah. That's actually kind of ingenious. Better than the college thing of having it at the 25. And again, their whole thing is to speed it up. And there's options for ties here as well. They go, we don't hate the ties. So it's just weird. It's different. So I guess from a betting perspective, Jace, I mean, have people laid money on this? And I imagine your limits are going to be pretty low here.
Yeah, limits are low. We're taking $500. Look, we don't know really anything yet till we see.
I mean, coaches, players, anything. Yeah. I mean, it's
One of our guys here went through all the rosters, all the coaches, and tried to kind of make power rankings on who we thought was going to be good and what we came up with. We made lines. I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's other people's guesses against ours, really. So we'll see. But we have taken a couple bets, a couple bets on the future market as well. We'll see what happens. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if there's a demand from customers to put it on the TV tomorrow when, you know, Duke versus Virginia happens to be on as well. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
All right. Interesting. Eight teams. Can we name any of the team names here?
I mean, I can name them all.
Go ahead.
The Legends, the Apollos, the Fleet, the Commanders.
Well, give us the cities that go with that.
Oh, I can't do that. Come on. You're asking me something impossible now. But I will say, like, one of the things that we do have up, believe it or not, is the futures. And in the future market, the favorite is the Hot Shots, who actually
Shots.
Yes, the Hot Shots are the favorite.
Is this a pickup game or what?
I don't know.
We took a bet on the Commanders at 5-1 and had to move them to +450. So
who's in charge of the Commanders?
Yes.
Who's in charge of the Commanders?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know,
Steve Spurrier's coaching. We know that.
I know
the
that.
Orlando team.
They offered me a job.
That's
to coach
right.
Your team.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said no. And
your reason?
Well, okay, a couple things. You know, your first year as a coach, your pay is guaranteed.
Right.
Number two and three, not. It's not guaranteed.
And the salaries aren't that bad what they're offering the coaches. Now, I don't think it is very good for the players, though.
No. You know, I think it's going to be good. The biggest thing I am worried about is the game itself. Right. Fans, it's proven that they don't mess with the game. We understand the game, okay? And you start playing with all that, and they go, what? And the problem could be is that, you know, if a team in Salt Lake City isn't very good, the problem right now is that I think there's about 2 feet of snow on the ground. And, again, I go back to the same thing. You know, I'd wait a little while.
Right.
I'd wait a little while. People are just taking a break from football, you know. And, let everybody get over the Super Bowl and all that and get rejuvenated to watch football again. But, I mean, after high school, college, and pros, people have spent their money.
And that's why the organizers of this thing, and they've got some big-name people that are involved with this, television executives, Heinz Ward's involved, other people, but they wanted to try to capitalize on the momentum and play this week after Super Bowl. We'll see. All right, so parting here, guys. One quick question. Give me an answer. Is this something that we want to watch?
I want to watch it just to see.
Okay.
I'll watch it just to see. But, and I know football.
Week number one, you might want to watch. Week number two, you're not so sure, right?
Well, after a while, I mean, I know football. I know everything. I know what they're doing and everything else, but people don't. It's a totally different game. When you just mentioned everything about penalties and this and that and the clock and this and that, and they go, people are going to go, huh? That's not the high school rules. It's not the college rules. It's not the NFL rules. It's a different game completely, and people don't like that.
Jason.
I'll say that the Birmingham team has Trent Richardson, Alabama Heisman Trophy winner who couldn't make it in the NFL, wasn't good enough, right? He's on the Birmingham team. I'm actually interested to see how he does. Like, if he actually dominates these guys, I think it will be a good, you know, indication of how good these NFL players really are.
I think there's like 15 or 20 Auburn/Alabama players that are on that Birmingham team.
I know Aaron Murray is the quarterback on one of the teams, although I'm not sure which one, but there are a lot of those kind of guys.
Right.
But, you know, if they're doing it right, how you have a draft or assign players, if Auburn, Alabama players, they need to get those guys locally to play. Right. Don't put them in Salt Lake City or somewhere else, because those guys that are local, if you got a team in San Diego, okay, get people from San Diego State and all that stuff.
I know Magnum's favorite quarterback is a quarterback in this weekend, Christian Hackenberg.
Don't even get
the
me
savior.
Started. Don't even
Chris
get me started.
The savior.
No, so what team is he on? He's got to be on an East Coast team, right? Is he on a Pennsylvania team? Is he on a New York team?
Yeah. He's not on the Jets, I can tell you.
No, and that's a good thing he's not on the Jets. But I'm looking at some of the rosters here, and I'm looking at the the Salt Lake Stallions and their quarterback, Matt Linehan, who I believe is the son of Scott Linehan, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Is that right?
I don't know.
Matt Linehan, Scott Linehan's kid, maybe?
No, I haven't followed the rosters at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just know the Linehan, so that's why I didn't know if you knew who he was. But hey,
they're actually to what Jim was saying. There's actually a lot of BYU and Utah kids playing for this Salt Lake team. So they got a couple Nebraska guys, Utah State guy on there as well. But yeah, a lot of local kids.
All right, Coach. Always appreciate you coming by. It's been great, seeing you all during this football season. We'll give you a little break from the show for a little bit, unless you want to come in and talk some hoops.
I always enjoy doing the show. I'll skip on the hoops.
There you go. Okay. Well, great seeing you as always. All right. Thanks a lot. Jim Fossil, former head coach of the New York Football Giants, great friend and just great friend of the program as well, too, here at the Cosmopolitan. When we come back, we're going to flip the script a little bit. RVD is in the house. I know Jason Symbol is as excited as anyone. Coming up next, TC Martin Show on Fox. Live from the CG Technology Sportsbook inside the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, it is our Friday edition TC Martin Show here on Fox. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at TCMartin21 and get the CG Technology mobile app if you don't have it already. Real easy to get signed up. Do it here. College football here and all kinds of other great stuff here. CG Technology mobile app. It is betting made easy. All right, in the house. Our good friend here is back, and now he's a Las Vegas resident, so we're going to be seeing him more and more again. We're talking about wrestling superstar, everything, movie star, Rob Van Dam, RVD in the house. What is happening?
Dude, yeah, I'm local. You're going to see me every day now.
I know, man. I don't know if that's good or bad. Between you and Sabu, it's like it's going to be like old times again, man.
Yeah, we'll bring him around. I'll bring him around real soon.
Oh, that'd be great, man. That'd be great. Okay, man.
It's probably your neighbor, and you don't even know it.
I know, exactly. Yeah, you know, that guy that's been barricading himself in the house that I didn't even know. That's that guy.
That's him.
Yeah, I thought so. There you go.
Well, give him a honk on the way home.
I will. I mean, hey, the former NWC champ, man. He probably still has the belt. I mean, the tag team. Look at this. I got my NWC tag team champ here, and the heavyweight champ now residing in my hood. I mean, this is great.
It's a dream come true.
We got to book the reunion show.
Is this real life or a dream?
Exactly. I know, Jason, you would have loved to have been our timekeeper back in the day. I don't think I could make you a manager, but you could be a good timekeeper.
I can be a manager. Why not?
Can you take a bump?
Depends what kind.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
All right. RVD is in the house here. Last time we had you on, we talked about your stand-up comedy and all that stuff. And
remember?
You were fantastic, man.
Always.
Oh, that was awesome to see you.
I'm always awesome.
Over at Hooters. Yeah, the sights and sounds.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about the stand-up, man. Yeah. So you're still doing this? How are you feeling about the stand-up?
Dude, like, I'm seriously, like, this calm when I'm on stage doing it. You know what I mean?
It's true. Like, this is true. We saw you.
Oh, yes. That's right. Remember you were there?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. This thing, you invite me, I come.
That's right.
That's how it goes.
That's right. I was hilarious, wasn't I?
Yeah.
That was at Hooters, and it was a weekend, and I actually haven't done it since then. I'm just like...
Really?
I'm not in a hurry to do anything.
Okay.
But I will be doing something soon. And I'm considering other things, too. Like, we're talking to Hooters about coming back, but then also Tom Garland, my manager, he's also brought me all these other scenarios, so we're looking at it. I'm never in a hurry, really, to do anything, you know? And nobody understands that, ever. Like, I can't relate to people because... I don't want to use the word lazy, but I so don't want to do anything like
you're the chill guy.
Exactly.
You are the always have been. You're the chill guy.
Everyone's like, how's this thing going, man? How's this thing working out for you? And I'm like, whoa, you're tearing me out already with the questions.
All right, so movie is happening now. It's a documentary, basically about your life, your career. Describe how it came about.
Okay.
And what people can expect to see. It's Headstrong. It's coming out February the 19th. The floor is yours, my man.
Yeah, and by the way, I sent it to you, and I screwed up, and you didn't get to watch it. And but it's actually
I was going to get the whole screening, the preview.
Yeah.
You know, like I was David Letterman or you know, Jimmy Kimmel. I get to talk about what I've seen before anybody else, and you dropped the ball on that one.
But I'll still send it to you, and like I said, I'm going to be here every day.
That's true.
And it doesn't...
whether we won him on the show or not, he's going to be here all the time.
And it doesn't come out till February 19th officially. It's available on iTunes for pre-order right now. Right. And then on the 19th, it's going to drop on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and Voodoo. And so it's really not about my whole career, my whole life, although it's all encompassed in the story. And it became about something so much more than we originally expected, because we're doing so the idea is I got this 7-day comedy tour, right? Hey, let's bring a camera and just, you know, film the road trip, make a little documentary out of it. It'll be cool. That was the plan, but I showed up with still feeling the concussion that I got a few days before before the trip started. And so like for the first few days, I'm thinking like, you know, I'm sure I'll feel 100% in the morning. So I'm not even gonna bother telling people about this. And I'm going on stage, taking pictures with fans, hey, and then I'm looking at the camera going, oh my God, dude, I'm seeing two of him right now. and I just figured, you know, that would just, I'd keep it to myself like I always have, because I've had hundreds of concussions over the years and I never tell anybody. Now it's a new thing because now we know that it can lead to permanent damage and in a sped up way. So anyway, it becomes something that doesn't go away the next morning or the next morning. So we end up following that, and then it ends up becoming about something so much bigger. We worked on it for 2 years, and then you know, it does encompass you know, my life, because that's, you know, background. Sabu's in it. Actually, all the wrestlers are in it, because I end up on tour. I go to the big event, which is a big wrestling convention in New York City. And so everyone's on there, including, and I'm really excited about this, or proud, whatever the word is, I have Bruno Sammartino's very last public appearance on my doc. Nice. And I'm stoked. And what he said to me, you know, because I have all the respect in the world for him, you know what I mean? And so, like, I was just trying to shake his hand, get a picture, and let him go, because he had a big line. I didn't want to be rude, you know. And I don't even know if I heard it at the time, but on the documentary, you hear him, and he's like, hey, he's holding my hand. He's like, Rob Van Dam. He's like, I want to tell you, I've seen you many times in the ring. You're pretty damn great. And, it, you know, that's just, like, every time I see that, like, boom, I feel it right here in the chest, you know. This thing's about, so you see me all over. I'm in New York. I'm in California, I'm in Ohio, I'm all over the place, and part of it I'm doing stand-up. Then you go to my house, and just like what is true to my nature, I'm overly honest and candid, and of course I talk about things that other people might not find, you know, appropriate, just because they don't want to be that open and personal. You know, I'm honest to a flaw.
Right.
That's what I'll go down in history as, the people that really know me, and this documentary is a great representation of that.
How happy are you with the final product?
So happy, dude. I expect everyone to love it. Good. And all the feedback I've got from everybody says how inspiring it is, seeing, you know, how I don't let factors change me. You know, I mean, we're talking like I got hit with a trifecta of you know, wife die. No, I'm sorry. Wait, maybe that was wishful thinking. Let me, okay, divorced, and then the dog died, and then my dad died, and then, like, you know, like, I got hit with a lot of stuff where a lot of people, you know, would, it would change their day, you know, just to say, but I'm overcoming that, and holding on to my one-of-a-kind perspective and strategy in life, you know. It's like I remain true to myself, and then there's the, you know, the concussion, which ends up, you know, forcing me to learn a lot more than I wanted to about that, and also, you know, consider a lot of things, because I'm like I said, I'm not really trying to do anything, but I'm doing a little bit of everything, and I always feel like I've got options, you know.
Right.
You get
all
to
right.
see all that. You get to see what it's like being RVD, overcoming all this, all these obstacles, and still keeping my incredible Zen flow. But also, you get to see that I get love everywhere I go. I'm at Times Square, I'm at Venice Beach, I'm anywhere, you know, and on the streets, and people are just like, RVD, they love me.
All right, man, I can hardly wait to see it. Again, it's released, coming out February the 19th, a couple weeks away. Viewing platforms, you can pre-order it now, right? And
yeah,
iTunes,
yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, the transactional ones, we call them in the biz.
Right.
Yeah,
I love it.
iTunes, transactional platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Voodoo, and you can pre-order now on iTunes.
Jason,
like right now while you're hearing
this. You got 5 seconds to ask RVD anything you want, and he gets to answer it in 5 seconds.
All I know is I come in, I got Jim Fossil, giant Super Bowl coach here, I'm a giant fan. Then we got RVD, and I'm a wrestling fan. What a day for me.
Boom.
All right. I appreciate it, man. Hey, it's great, man. We're going to be seeing a lot of you.
You're great.
A lot of you.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Back tomorrow.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. We're taking tomorrow off. All right. For Magnum, back in the studio, Jim Fossil, Jason Symbol, Rob Van Dam, Jazzy Jeff here. Everyone here at the Cosmopolitan, thank you very much. If you miss any part of the show, go to the website, tcmartinshow.com, and we will reconvene Monday at 3 o'clock. Have yourself a fantastic weekend.
What's that?